Kashrus, my Rebbe Rabbi Willig, and all the Mashgichim who are here, and Dr. Nissel's in the back, and all of you, because coming out at 10:30 at night to me is a very, very big deal.
That's because left the yeshivas alone with
But I think before I left yeshiva, I don't know if this would have been possible. It speaks volumes for the efforts of all of you. Very often these conversations that we're having tonight, I think, will probably be reminiscent of many conversations that many of us have had over the years with Rabbi Willig, with some of the other Rosh Yeshiva, and I think that they need to continue. In fact, if I had to open up with my closing, it would be the understanding that a healthy relationship with Rebbeim who are in the know, like our Rosh Yeshiva, and the Rabbanim that know what they're talking about, can be very, very helpful for us within our understanding of tonight's topic. A couple of weeks ago, I had the privilege of addressing a topic called obsessive compulsive disorder and the Orthodox Jewish community. It took place not too far away from here. It was in Belfer Hall. And subsequently, it was determined that the concept of scrupulosity, OCD, or the religious obsessions, as we like to call them, needed its own section and its own session. As I was talking with one of my colleagues in Eretz Yisrael, Dr. Hupert, who's a frum Jew and one of the top people in the world now in the field of obsessive compulsive disorder, he said, you know, it's a good thing that you're doing that, because he's leading a movement now that will separate the concept of a obsessive compulsive style that's based on a religious or a moral fear from the other types of obsessive compulsive disorders.
I would live. If you prefer to wear it.
Is it easier for you? Okay, thank you. I think that to set up the case and to realize what we're talking about, I'd like to bring up three scenarios that I think are quite common. Case number one, it's the young man who just came back from Eretz Yisrael. He's davening in the Beis Medrash, and he is winning the game at saying Kriya Shema. His Kriya Shema takes longer than it takes the rest of the people to daven Shacharis. And when he's done, he's still saying Kriya Shema. When you talk to him and you ask him, why are you saying Kriya Shema for 2.5 hours, he tells you that he starts even earlier than the minyan does. He has to get it in before Sov Zman. But if he does it in Kivein Libo Yatza, and he can't say for sure that he had Kavana. So he'll say it over, and he'll say it over, and he'll say it over, and he'll say it over until his mind allows him to go ahead and say, I've said Kriya Shema with the right amount of Kavana, or more likely, the Zman has passed, so it's too late anyway. Case number two, 22-year-old woman, she's a Kala, she's about to get married, she's sitting around, and she's preparing for Kiddushin. And every time she thinks about the wedding, she has a different problem, because in her head, she knows Kiddushin comes from the word Kedusha, and she can't get the idea out of her head that she's not that she believes in the Ribbono Shel Olam, that she's worried that she's a kofer, and she has to constantly remind herself that she's a Baal HaSemuna. To parallel the case to something that I have seen before many times, young men who are concerned that when they daven, they have to convince themselves that they're davening HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sometimes they're worried that maybe they had a thought, and that might mean they were davening to another religion or another deity in another religion. How to handle such a situation? And there's the third classic example: a 24-year-old Kol Yungerman, married. He has a big problem. He never makes Shmon Esrei, because he puts on his talis and tefillin, and he sits there adjusting his talis, and then when he's done with the talis, fixing the shel rosh over and over, and the whole time he's sitting there trying to make sure that it's exactly so, and the tzibur keeps moving on and on, and he misses every day, and it drives him crazy. He can't go on. So in each of these situations, although they're disparate, the situations in and of themselves all identify the same fear of scrupulosity. It's the same obsessive issue, where what's at the root of the issue is a constant thought of something that's religious in nature, and there's a fear that's involved. So very often people say, so what? You're a doctor, you're not a Rav, you're not a Rosh Yeshiva, they don't know usually, right? And I'm certainly not a Rosh Yeshiva. So maybe it's just Ehrlichkeit. Maybe it's just a question of Frumkeit. So I want to be Mekayim the Mitzvah. So how am I supposed to be able to determine if what I'm really doing is just because I'm trying to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And how maybe what I'm trying to do is maybe a little too scrupulous. So in our world, we identify scrupulosity from religious, healthy religious practice by asking five basic points. Point number one, does the practice go further than the halacha? So, for instance, I'm thinking of a patient of mine who was very makpid on netilas yadayim. Every netila was 8 times on each hand. Why? He says to me, because if he didn't do it exactly 8 times, he couldn't be sure that he got it twice up until the wrist. So he was makpid gummer 8 times. We start to scratch our heads, because I don't think I can think of a shita where 8 times is recommended. The second issue, or the second question I ask usually is there a preoccupation with a small part of the picture of the mitzvah? So for instance, the person says to me, I'm very careful about how long I daven, and I have to be sure that I say the word modim extra carefully. And I'm so particular about it that I say modim, and then I say it again. So I tell him, mishaskinoso, be quiet. But the fact of the matter is, if I'm so particular on the pronunciation of the word that I lose the concept of tefillah, I'm so careful on the half the Reb Chaim, and I forget the other half of Omid Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we start to be choshed more in the perspective of scrupulosity. Issue number three, or question number three, is the understanding. Does the person really understand that true Yiddishkeit doesn't really interfere with religion? True Yiddishkeit is derecha d'achino. And if a person doesn't understand that, and the person says, listen, my scrupulosity is such that I can't sit and learn anymore. I can't go to yeshiva. I had a guy in my office last week who says to me, he doesn't have obsessive compulsive, so he doesn't have scrupulosity, but he can't go to his yeshiva. This yeshiva, he's been learning in for 4 or 5 years. What's the concern? Something about the yeshiva. I haven't gotten far enough with him. He won't go far enough to tell me what it is about the yeshiva. But I've had other guys who've told me they can't daven till the last possible minute, because they're so obsessed, the thoughts are so bothering them, that they push and push and push until that last minute. Or somebody who's so obsessed with Hilchos Shabbos that he shouldn't be over Hilchos Shabbos, not that he's obsessed with learning them. He's afraid to be over Hilchos Shabbos, that he spends all Shabbos under the blanket waiting for it to pass. I've had cases where usually with younger people, but I've had cases where people are afraid to get out of bed for fear of being Mechal Shabbos. In such a situation, clearly the practice is interfering with the correct practice of the religion. The fourth issue is the person spending excessive energy on minutia? That is to say, is a person focusing on the exact placement, Beinayim, and forgetting the rest of the mitzvahs of tefillin? He's not even sure that he's forgetting to daven. He's forgetting to do everything that gets involved. If that's the case, and you're not able to engage in the mitzvah b'shleimus, so then we have to wonder that maybe there's scrupulosity involved. And finally, when a person says, "But my big concern is getting it perfect," when I hear the word "perfect," and I mess up myself, so I have to put it carefully. But when people say to me, "But my concern about the mitzvah is getting it perfect," then all of a sudden, that's like my alarm. In my ear, I'm listening for the alarm, because in other obsessive compulsive issues, we start worrying about things like checking. A person is always checking to make sure that he closed the door and locked it, that he turned off the oven. Well, if you're checking to make sure you did the mitzvah perfectly, we start to be choshed for OCD. People who repeat. Well, in regular obsessive compulsive disorder, the classic forms, there's a lot of repetition. So if somebody's repeating Kriya Shema over and over again. And then point number three of this subsection, which I think is an overarching issue, is the concept of reassurance. That people who suffer from obsessive compulsive disorder tend to constantly need to be reassured. So with that in mind, and before I turn it over to Mori Virabi, I just want to add that when we engage in treatment, if treatment is indicated, we actually tackle those very issues. we put a person in a situation where they learn to take risks. There's usually an underlying thought pattern that goes on with a person who's suffering from obsessive compulsive scrupulosity. Very often the theme surrounds something like, I'm afraid of einish. I'm afraid that if I don't do it perfect, so I'm going to get punished. I like to point out when that happens, I've told patients on a number of occasions, you're 50% a perfect Jew, but 50% doesn't pass. You know, there is a concept of Yiras Hashem, but if there's no Avas Hashem, you're getting a big zero on Avas Hashem. So that's only 50% Yiddishkeit. That doesn't sound too perfect to me, but that's a little bit more of a kibbutz style. The truth of the matter is, though, a person needs to understand that they need to be able to take certain risks, and within that risk, the other key critical issue is the use of Rabbanim. And Rabbanim and clergy who are there to make sure and help out, to help a person develop a certain understanding of halacha and a certain acceptable level of risk within the halacha, so that a person can understand that while he is going to a process of what we call overcorrection, I'm too worried, I want to make sure that I don't come to any shemets of a possibility of maybe violating a din, our rabbanim are there, our Rosh Yeshiva are there to help us and guide us, and even within a treatment, we use Rabbanim very seriously. I always say to my patients, I don't paskin in the treatment, neither should you. Let's pick a third person. You pick the Rav, and we'll work together. But then it becomes the obligation of the Rav to make sure that he's not providing inadvertent reinforcement for the behavior. Good, good. It's good you're saying Kriya Shema with Dikduk. Fine, it is good to say Kriya Shema with Dikduk. But how far? And also the understanding that the Rav has to be careful not to provide reassurance. I know one Rav who's a colleague of mine in New Jersey who gets a phone call every week on Erev Shabbos for the 20 minutes prior to the time he leaves the shul to make sure that it's not candle lighting yet. And every week he gets the call from the same balabusta. And he says, no, don't worry. How do you know? I checked the calendar. But are you sure? Maybe the calendar was wrong. So finally I said to him, stop giving a how do you know? Because I said so. That's it. Weiter. Why don't you take the risk? If it says 4:17 on the calendar in your house, take 4:17 as the time on the calendar. And again, the use of Rabbanim in this situation, the primacy of Rabbanim in this situation, is geared towards getting the person to stand on his own feet within a context of true Torah Judaism. And